The 2006 International AIDS Conference, Time to Deliver, brought to you by KaiserNetwork.org.
Regan, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you.
You recently wrote a very courageous article in Vogue magazine. It was published this summer, disclosing to a large audience your HIV positive status. A few questions come from that. First, why Vogue?
Well, they called me, and at first, I was shocked because I don't see the topic often in mainstream women's magazines. Or if you do, you see an international story, a story that we've seen over and over again, like AIDS orphans. And I was so pleased, actually, that they wanted to do something. The reason they approached me, I believe, is because I dovetail with their demographic. I am a Vogue reader. I've been a Vogue reader for years. And I think they wanted to show that people who read Vogue can get HIV.
And they knew about you because of your position at Oz as editor-in-chief.
Correct.
And you had a similar front cover story there.
Yes. In April, I came to the magazine in January at Oz and was on the cover of the magazine in April, where I publicly disclosed to the world that I have HIV.
How many years passed between the time of your diagnosis to, in a way, publicly coming out?
10. Basically, I was diagnosed in 1996. I only told my family, my immediate family, my mother, father, and sister, and any men that I was considering having a relationship with. That was it. My best friends didn't know. I told my riding coach when I was competing, because in case I fell off and got hurt, people like that needed to know. My dentist needed to know. But other than that, I didn't really tell anybody.
What held you back?
Fear of what they would say. Fear of losing my friends, fear of losing my job, fear of never being invited to a dinner party. And also, I think not disclosing was healthy for me for a while because people continue to treat me as if there was something wrong with me. And I've done well on medication. It was very sort of life-affirming to think that I wasn't any different than anyone else. My immune system's intact. The disease is under control. And it was helpful to see myself as a normal person. Since I've disclosed and now people know that I have the disease, they don't treat me any differently. It's, you know, the anticipation was worse than the reality.
But in that period of time where you were only disclosing to selected people, you really ran the gamut of reactions.
Yes.
From instant acceptance.
Yes.
To deeply cutting remarks.
Yes. Interestingly, the only people that I told when I was not publicly disclosed were men that I was potentially dating. So that's a certain pool. They have they're coming from one angle. They're concerned about their own health, and they're obviously considering being involved with me on a different level than someone who might just know me socially. So there was that. More than anything, it was hearing people talk about HIV/AIDS, not knowing I was positive. I'd be at a dinner party, and I'd have people say these horrible things.
Like,
you know,
what?
Like, well, why don't we just let nature correct itself and let everybody with the disease die? Or say, well, you know, they deserve to die. Why should we take care of people with this disease? And there's so much judgment and moral judgment that happens around people that have HIV.
And while you were sitting at that dinner party, you sat silent?
I sat silent. Occasionally, towards the end of the decade, I would pipe up and say, but I would say something to challenge or at least, you know, engage a bigger discussion around the topic, but I would find out quickly that everybody at the table thought the same thing.
You write something so interesting in the Vogue article. You say HIV could serve as the ultimate litmus test for a person's character. What a great statement.
It's what I found is when you tell people that you have HIV, the first thing that you're experiencing often is their reaction and sort of their it's a projection of things inside of themselves, not necessarily what they think objectively about the disease or about you having the disease. So, for example, when I would tell men that I was considering dating, I could tell how they were oriented towards me, because if they really had deep feelings for me, they would be concerned about my longevity. They would be worried that I would die if they fell in love with me. If they were more interested in something casual, then they would be worried about their own personal physical safety, you know, through sexual interaction. So, for example, that's, you know.
You know, as I was reading the article, I was thinking, here is a woman who comes from every advantage. You came from an educated background, a middle class background. Yeah. You live in a country that is relatively progressive.
Yep.
How much worse, how much more compounded it must be for women around the world, particularly in developing countries?
I agree. I can't imagine. I mean, if it's been as hard as it's been for me with all this privilege, I can't imagine what it's like for people in China, India, Russia, Sub-Saharan Africa. But I'll say this too, that a lot of the elements of the disease are universal. The fears that people have, the way that we struggle with side effects, the way that we struggle with treatment access, the way that we struggle to, you know, get through how we feel about getting the disease. I mean, for example, the thing that allowed me eventually to come forward was to let go of my own personal shame. Shame and fear of stigma was keeping me silent, but after a while, the burden of the secret was so much, I looked at it and I said, you know, what am I ashamed of? I'm ashamed of having sex with someone I love twice without a condom. I was on birth control. I was making a calculated risk, Why should I live this horrible life of silence and isolation because of something that arguably many people do all the time? I think that the challenges for women around the world are unique and so much harder. And we, and also minorities, have become the new sort of silent, you know, AIDS community, just as gay men were in the 80s, you know?
During this week in Toronto, have you shared any strategies with women from other countries about how to make it through?
I'm going to be spending some time in the women's networking group at the Global Village, and I went to the women's rally, and we did talk to a bunch of women that morning. I think the universal thinking is that women need to empower each other, and women need to understand that they can ask a man to wear a condom. They should ask a man to get an HIV test. They should demand to see the result if possible.
But in some cultures,
culturally, it is impossible for certain people. And that's why I was so pleased to hear Melinda Gates talk about the microbicide development. We have to acknowledge the realities of other cultures, and we can't impose one strategy around the world because it won't work. And
a question I've asked many other people I've interviewed this week, and that is, what will you define as success for yourself, for your publication, for the world of AIDS, from this conference?
From this conference. Well, one of the things that PAWS and PAWS.com in particular have really done a good job of lately is reaching out to people who are living in isolation. So part of our objective here was coming to introduce the brand and the vehicle to those who aren't aware of it, particularly women and minorities. We see an attrition monthly on our website that is significant, and it's the profile of who uses our website has changed dramatically. So I've met a lot of amazing people. I'd like us to expand globally our reach and get our information to more people around the world. We have great treatment information. We have, as do so many people, but what we have that I think is unique is a link to the community and a link to those living with the disease. We have a mentors program where an experienced person can talk to a newly diagnosed person, or people can just talk in realistic terms about how to live with the virus. So hopefully we can get our brand introduced to some people and help others in their country with that.
Regan Hoffman, editor-in-chief of PAWS, thank you so much and good
luck. Thank you so much.